It is our great joy today, Christmas Day, to be together for worship, to listen again to the Christmas story, to sing hymns, to think about this message for our lives, to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Last night on Christmas Eve, we gathered here two different times and on both occasions read from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke tells the story much like the children's book tells it, about the angels appearing in the fields above the shepherd and Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem and the shepherds then going there and the angels singing glory to God in the highest. That story includes the words of the angels, for unto you a child is born, good news of great joy for all people, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's the message of the angel. So the shepherds go to Bethlehem and they see this thing that has taken place, and they find Mary and Joseph, as you know, and the babe lying in the manger. The Gospel of Matthew begins with a much more abbreviated story of Joseph and Mary. There are no shepherds. What the angel does is appear to Joseph, who is absolutely afraid that his wife is pregnant. And so the angel's message is, do not be afraid. This is God's doing. And the story unfolds rather quickly. The Gospel of Mark, the other synoptic gospel, doesn't mention Mary or Joseph at all. There are no shepherds. There are no angels like that. Mark simply states in the beginning that this is the gospel of the coming of Christ. This is the coming of God's kingdom, and Jesus appears and he's baptized by John. It all happens very quickly. And then there's John, the other gospel. John's gospel opens not with a story, but as some of you know, more like poetry. So listen again to John's words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. These poetic words of John remind us in a different way about the message and the importance of the Christmas story. First, the one who comes, whom we call Jesus, John calls the Word, which means Jesus is really the wisdom of God, the very essence of God, an absolute part of God. Indeed, the Word was in the beginning, just like God was in the beginning. The Word was, this is what John says, with God, and the Word was God. This very essence of God, then, is breaking into the world. The Word, Jesus, is coming into the world. Everything that God is doing and has ever done, Jesus is a part of it. That's the message. Later theologians put it this way, Jesus is God from God. Jesus is light from light. Jesus is true God from true God. He came down from heaven incarnate in Jesus. That's the Nicene Creed. Second, and this may be my favorite part, in him is life, And the life is the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Seems to be a lot of darkness around. Many of us confront dark issues about our particular lives in these days, about our loved ones. Life can become very difficult. Heartache. Heartache is very painful. Worry, disappointment, uncertainty about the future, all these things can take us down quite quickly into the doldrums, into darkness. There continues to be lots of darkness around our lives. There continues to be lots of darkness around our city and our nation. People doing mean things. Injustice seemingly prevailing. Selfishness on the rise. So many complex circumstances can make life easily discouraging. And then all across the world, well, there's much to celebrate because of our abundance. There's much to celebrate because of many blessings and communication and travel opportunities and many freedoms that we have. Darkness continues because politics keep us divided and terror keeps us fearful and alienation seems more prevalent than reconciliation. The good news of Christmas wants to penetrate all that darkness. The good news of Christmas wants to shine light in that darkness and overcome it. Because the light shines in the darkness, Christ shines in the darkness, and no darkness can overcome the light. That's the promise of Christmas. John reminds us that Jesus comes into our lives. Jesus comes into our world, the very essence of God. The true light enlightens everyone. We're invited to receive Him, to become children of God, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and lived among us. One translator puts it like this: Jesus moves into the neighborhood, your neighborhood, our neighborhood, our hearts, our lives, our world. This news is meant to redirect everything about us. Reframe how we live, how we serve, what we do every day. A few years ago, Garrison Keillor told a story of a live nativity scene in his News from Lake Wobegon on a Prairie Home Companion. His story went like this. The living nativity returned to Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility last week. Last Sunday, out in front of the church, they have that enormous creche with the moving parts. There's one cow that twitches its tail, and the infant turns its head and holds up his hand, and the Blessed Mary Virgin bows slightly. But those moving parts weren't working anymore. So Sister Arvon decided to have a living nativity. And she went out and recruited people to be part of it. She went to the youth group at the Catholic Church and she found young people who she could bend to her will. She found Linda McAdance to be the Blessed Virgin and Carl Schopenhauer to be Joseph. These are the two for which you have certain unspoken standards, you know, the Blessed Virgin Mary and Joseph. In a small town, people know who qualifies for this and who don't qualify. So they were all set, and then they got some llamas who appeared in the role of camels, and some real sheep who were there who didn't really want to be there, but there they were. And all sorts of children stuffed full of sweets, and then the shepherds were there. You don't care about their character whatsoever. They wore those big robes just as they did in Scripture. Some of them brought things to drink under their robes to keep them warm, if you know what I mean. The angels came in rhinestones and feathers, and so it was very festive. It was really very lovely. And then people drove up, and they parked, and they came in and they were drinking hot chocolate and standing around the whole scene. And the wise men brought gifts of coffee and figs and chocolate and cookies, which Mary and Joseph really enjoyed. And it was a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing as the sun went down. There wasn't a fence around it or anything like that. So people just walked right up, right into the nativity scene. They visited with one another. They just walked right in and they talked to the Blessed Virgin Mary and to Joseph. It was lovely. It was lovely until the fire station siren went off and two of the wise men had to run for it. And the fire station also called some of the men who were watchers as well, and they dispersed in this huge hurry. And after that, people were wondering, well, how does this end? Where does it end? What's the end of the story when there's no curtain to come down and say it's over? They were there, all of them, just right in the midst of it all. What's the end of the story, Keeler muses. Well, that's something we've been trying to figure out for 2,000 years, isn't it? What's the end of the story? What's the end of the story? You know what? It's a story that doesn't end. We know about the Word made flesh. We know about God coming among us. We know about light shining in the darkness. We know about God moving into our neighborhood. We who have seen the star, we who have heard the angels sing, we're called to be people who participate in the story, participate in the birth, called to be instruments of God's peace and love and faith and hope and joy. The God that we see revealed in Jesus is the way. In fact, it's a new way to a different kind of life and a changed perspective and a more promising future. God will never change the world without our human participation in it. We're participants in the story. God gave us Jesus to show the way and that the story never really ends, leading us all to the kingdom of God, the full reign of God's promises and purposes, of the reign that we heard depicted in Isaiah the prophet today. The story really never ends, and God never does anything without calling us to be a part of it, and we participate, moving our lives and moving the world with God toward that full reign. May each of us be moved again by the Word made flesh today, by the promise of life, and in Him there is no darkness. May we each be moved to deeper levels of faith and faithful living, of trusting God and serving God with each of our lives, with this Christmas day and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and forever. The Christmas story is meant to be played out in each of our lives. We're part of the story, carrying us toward the full reign of God. May it be so. Alleluia. Amen. Thank you, God, for the remarkable Christmas story. Move us to new depths by your Spirit, by your power, new depths of life and faith and service as Christian people. Amen.